Hello, my name is Ed Russell, Senior Managing Director with Tortoise. I'm joined today by Brian Kessens, Portfolio Manager and Managing Director. We're doing today a special podcast, Rick for C-Corp, Understanding the Differences in Today's Environment. First, let me start by saying that typically our podcasts discuss the current energy environment and are not product specific. This special podcast will focus on product structure available for midstream investors. At Tortoise, we have both C-Corp and registered investment company products in closed-end funds and open-end funds. So we want to talk through the structures, and I have a few prepared questions here that I'm going to direct to Brian. So Brian, tell me, what's the difference between a C-Corp or a RIC structure?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ed. Mutual funds are typically structured as regulated investment companies or RICs. As such, they may invest up to 25% of their capital in MLPs. In contrast, a fund structured as a taxable C-corporation can invest up to 100% of its capital in MLPs. Though RICs are limited to investing up to 25% in MLPs, the pipeline universe is much larger than just MLPs. Currently, there are about 60 companies structured as C-Corps with a market capitalization of about $500 billion. Some of these companies own or are related to MLPs. For example, some are general partner to an MLP. These C-Corps offer the same exposure that MLPs do: long-lived essential assets, fee-based long-term contracts, and high barriers to entry. The nature of how they finance new projects is, however, different. An MLP generally pays out all of its cash flow to unit holders in the form of a distribution and finances projects with new equity and debt, whereas a C-Corp, while it commonly pays a dividend, typically retains a portion of its cash flow, relying much less on the equity markets for funding. Consequently, the returns of MLPs have a higher income component versus a C-Corp. Yet while the way they finance projects is different, MLPs and C-Corps are subject to the same business fundamentals and are diversified among natural gas, refined product, and crude oil long-haul pipelines and gathering processing. A fund structured as a RIC will generally be 25% MLPs and 75% C-Corps versus a fund structured as a C-Corp that can invest up to 100% in MLPs. Both mutual funds and ETFs are commonly structured as RICs or C-Corps.
Can you talk a little bit how RICs and C-Corps are taxed, or in some cases not taxed?
Sure. RICs are taxed as flow-through entities. They are not generally tax-paying corporations. The flow-through nature allows them to efficiently target both MLPs and the broader pipeline investment universe. The nature of their taxation is that only the investor is taxed, and the nature of taxation in the distribution that the RIC makes during the year could be ordinary income or long or short-term capital gains. C-Corps, on the other hand, incur double taxation. The fund itself is taxed on the income it generates at the C-Corp tax rate, which, following the recently passed tax reform, is 21% at the federal level. The investor then incurs additional tax as the nature of the distribution is ordinary income or return of capital. Another consideration is that as a C-Corp, the fund must calculate its NAV, assuming the fund was liquidated today. If liquidated today, there is a tax impact, and this impact shows up as a deferred tax liability if the fund has a net capital gain, or a deferred tax liability if the fund has a net capital loss. Yet while the deferred taxation calculation impacts the NAV, the actual taxes paid can be deferred for many years.
Okay, thanks, Brian. But that was pretty complicated. Can you walk us through like a simple example?
Sure. For example, a closed-end fund structured as a C-Corp may have a deferred tax liability that amounts to $5 per share. This means that if all the securities in the fund were sold today, the fund would owe $5 per share in taxes. The net asset value, or the NAV of the fund, is lower by this amount. If we never sold any securities, the fund would never pay this tax. How to value this deferred tax liability is subject to much subjectivity, yet it is fair to say it should impact valuation by somewhere between $0 and $5 per share.
Okay, thanks. So investors have a lot of choices today to invest in the midstream space. We've got separately managed accounts, mutual funds, closed-end funds, and then, of course, ETFs. Can you talk about the advantages and maybe even the disadvantages of each of those?
Sure. We think generally pipeline companies are great investments given how essential they are to our economy and way of life. Further, they benefit from long-term contracts and largely fee-based income. And with growing shale production, there is a need for more pipelines to transport increasing volumes. We believe that the best way to get exposure to pipelines is through a separately managed account. An SMA provides direct exposure at the market price. It is active management. You directly benefit from the tax-advantaged nature of MLPs. The downside is MLPs generate K-1s, which is a tax burden, especially for those that invest smaller sums and may not rely on an outside tax preparer. For K-1 sensitive investors, an open-end or a closed-end fund makes sense. If you desire income, closed-end funds generally pay out all of the cash distributed by its underlying holdings in the form of a dividend. Further, tax reporting is done on a 1099 and not a K-1. For investors that are in a C-Corp and are reinvesting the yield, this may not be the best for them. If an investor is focused on total return and more indifferent to income, open-end funds make sense. We think ones structured as RICs are better since you can buy them at NAV and their flow-throughs from a tax perspective. And again, no K-1, rather you receive a 1099. If you desire a passive strategy, an ETF or an ETN may make sense. Note there is counterparty risk with an ETN.
Okay, thanks. So in closing, kind of last question, why did Tortoise launch their closed-end fund structure as a C-Corp?
Yeah. Prior to launching the first MLP fund in 2004, we evaluated various fund structure alternatives. We determined that a fund that's solely focused on MLPs, and hence a tax-paying entity, is best structured as a closed-end fund. Our conclusion was on several characteristics of the closed-end fund C Corporation. One, it is a permanent capital vehicle, meaning it does not have to fund redemptions of shareholder capital. Secondly, the permanent nature of its capital provides multiple tax-related benefits, including the ability to manage a tax liability through detailed tax planning integrated into the portfolio management process, and to take action to maximize tax efficiency without the risk of large inflows or outflows of capital. And then lastly, it offers liquidity at a market price as opposed to only net asset value, which will reflect, among other things, the present value of the deferred tax liability that we talked about.
Thank you, Brian. And to summarize, we have always felt that the best way for investors to own master limited partnerships is to own them directly in a diversified portfolio. However, we understand many clients do not want to own 25 to 30 MLPs and receive the associated K-1s. So when choosing a managed product that provides tax simplification, you should be aware that there are advantages and disadvantages to each solution. Thank you for joining us today on this special podcast. If you have additional questions, you can contact us by phone at 888-870-3088 or by email at info@tortoiseinvest.com.
Thank you for joining us and stay tuned for our next cast. Have topics you want covered or other feedback to share? Write us at info@tortoiseinvest.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact included herein are forward-looking statements. Although Tortoise believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects our views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intent.